Well, I would appreciate prayer this morning. Just felt like the Lord started, He had already given me some part of a message. I thought maybe we'd get through this meeting without it, but this morning I felt like the Lord started talking to me about it. Hebrews 11 and 6, we wrote on the board, the faith of Abraham. In Hebrews it tells us, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, that verse always kind of gave me a little question. Why, if the Lord requires faith, how do you get faith if you don't have it then? But, you know, if we don't have any faith in the Lord, we'll probably go somewhere else than to the Lord. And so this morning, I'm thinking, you know, that next verse says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, Noah believed God. He had confidence that what God said he was going to do. So in the face of a whole world around him that I'm quite sure had a lot of jokes to make about Noah, I'm pretty sure they looked at that boat after 75 years building on it and had a lot of little laughters and a lot of derision for Mr. Noah. And I'll tell you what, the day came when all that changed. And all those that did not believe God perished. And they could have been saved. Noah, it says, was a preacher of righteousness. You know, he told them over and over. I have an idea that the Spirit of God backed that up. And somehow they knew down deep they needed to make changes. They knew a little about God. And so we find those that lived by faith, that God spoke to them and they moved. I want to look at the passage back here in Genesis, the 12th chapter, where the Lord spoke to Abram at the time, which he later changed his name. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, let me get there, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. You know, I want to think a little bit this morning about the faith that Abraham had. I don't know of any mighty deed. I don't know of any fire he called down out of the sky or anything that he did that you can point to say, look at that faith that Abraham had. I don't know of anybody that he did great things with. But I'll tell you what Abram did. God spoke to him and he said, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. I'm not even going to tell you where it's at. Just get up and get out of here. And you know what it says in Abram? So Abram departed. And that's the way when you read about Abraham, you find him that way. And it says that as the Lord had spoken unto him, he departed. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. You know, this morning, maybe we think that if God would give us a great call like that, we would follow Him. But I want to tell you something. Has God ever called us and talked to our hearts while we sat in these benches? Has He ever told us I want you to come closer to me. Yes. Has he ever said, I want you to get saved? Has he ever said, I want you to consecrate yourself to me, to my service? And I don't know what our response was, but I'll tell you, we're following a man that the Bible speaks highly of his faith. His faith was that when God spoke to him, he moved. And when God called on him, he did things exactly what God asked him to do. And this morning, I want to challenge us, folks, the faith that pleases God is that faith to believe in him, to trust in him. Whatever he has called us to, whatever he has called us to do, maybe he's put a calling on you during this meeting. I hope he has. I hope someone in this meeting heard the call of God to the work of the Lord. I hope you heard it. And I hope the next step you make is to start moving in that direction. Consecrating, doing whatever it takes to get where God has called you to. I want to tell you, if we're going to please God, we're going to have faith in him. We're going to have to believe that what God has said he will do. If we don't believe that, folks, we will stand back in unbelief. I don't think God can or will do that. Folks, that won't get us where we need to go. But I believe if we follow those like Noah, and you read all through that 11th chapter of Hebrews, and you find men and women that had faith, and it says Noah being warned of God by faith, Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. This morning, I want to encourage us to hear the call of God. I am persuaded that as close as the Lord has been to us in this meeting, I'm persuaded he's talked to our hearts. He has to mine. And I want to have nothing to say but yes to the Lord. So this morning, you know, after Abraham died, we find his son Isaac in chapter 26 of Genesis in 1, verse 1. It says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the earth oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because what was the faith of Abraham after all? Now, we have a whole world that tells us that the faith that transcends all the ages where there was the law and the prophets and all of those things, we have a whole world around us that says, just believe. I used to work with a young man, and he worked for us, and he lived a pretty wild life. And he told us, he said, I'm just hoping that I have just a moment to believe before I pass over. And that was his hope. Folks, the belief that Abraham had, listen to what God spoke to his son and said here. He said, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Abraham was the man that sought after God. He was a man that lived in a tent all his life when he probably could have had a nice, well-built home. But because God said, move, Abraham moved. So this morning, I want to challenge us that we have the faith of Abraham. That when God speaks to us and he makes a call to us or an appeal to our life, in however and whatever way that is, that we instantly get up and go. That's our response. What other response could we have? Well, we could say, That don't make sense. That's what Noah could have said. That's what Abraham could have said. There's a whole list of them back there. Read Hebrews 11, you'll find a list, a whole history of the Jewish people that moved by faith and was obedient unto the Lord. But folks, you read the pages of the Bible and you'll find a whole history of people that didn't. When they went into the land of Canaan and was supposed to go right on in there, and there was only two men that stood up and said, "We can easily take this of all the things they're bred for us," because they believed God. God said, "I'm going to take you there." And it wasn't without witness. They knew that God could take them there. But they said, "They'll eat us up. We look like grass. We're like grasshoppers in their sight." Folks, the difference was that they were looking at different pictures. Caleb and Joshua was looking at God. They were looking at themselves. Folks, I want to tell us, there is a heaven waiting on the faithful and the just. Let's be children of Abraham. Let's be men and women of faith. Young folks, when you feel the call of God, and when He wants you to sing a song, when He wants you to give a special testimony, and you know the Lord's stirring, when He says, "I want you to come and pray," be careful to move right in that place. Be have enough confidence in God that we're willing to move in whatever place God wants and give whatever God wants. I want to encourage us as older folks, listen, when God starts meddling in our life, let's just throw our hands up. "Yes, Lord." That's all I can say. I don't know what else to say. "Yes. Yes, Lord. Take it. Yes, Lord. Have it. Yes, Lord. Take me or leave me. Yes, Lord. Heal me or deal with me. Can help me to consider when hard things come. And yet, Lord, have your way in our life." You know, Abraham lived a life of total obedience to God. It wasn't that hard. It wasn't that complicated. God spoke and he obeyed. Isn't that what happened? It is. And so Abraham's faith is spoken of all through the Bible. And many times I've thought, I wonder how many Abrahams there were. Now, I know God had a special call and a special need there of Abraham's life, but I wonder how many people through the history of time God called. And they said, "Lord, there's no way. Let me go back and take care of this stuff." And the Lord says, I want you now. Folks, the Lord's wanting us now. There was an utter abandonment in Abraham's faith to the will of God and to whatever the Lord had told him. Just an utter, "Lord, whatever you want, I abandon myself to that." Don't we know that's true? Oh, I tell you, my heart starts, when I see this and I see people like this, oh, doesn't it want to make us want to emulate them? Doesn't it make us want to step up in their shoes and say, "Lord, I'm not very big, but I can follow you. I can obey you. I can hear your voice. I can do your will." Folks, that's what makes the heart sing. And God wants to do that for us today. In Genesis 22 and 1, I'm going to read a lengthy one here. But listen to this little story that we all know so well. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." Now we're talking about the faith of Abraham. You know what Abraham's response was when God spoke to him? "Here I am." Yes. That was pretty simple, wasn't it? Yes. "Here I am." And we read about the faith of Abraham, and the New Testament has many references to Abraham. You know what he did? He obeyed God. That's what he did. And God worked his will in his life. And he said, "I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth through your seed. There's going to be one come in your line, and I'm going to bless the people of the earth, and I'm going to pour out my spirit. He didn't say all those words to Abraham, but he told him that, didn't he? And he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah." See, God knew this was probably the dearest thing that Abraham had. He said, I'm going to touch this thing that you love the most. "Thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." What would your response be to that? I'll tell you what Abraham's was. It says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day," Abraham just got up and took off early the next morning. He didn't wrestle with it for 2 weeks. Folks, he got up and went because he knew what God was calling him to. I'm not talking about guessing or wishing this is what God wants out of my life. I'm talking about when we know God's spoken to us. Folks, it's time to move when God speaks to you. Young folks, when God starts working in your life, count it the highest treasure that you have. God spoke to me. God stirred in my heart. And I'm getting up and going. I don't know whatever it is he might say. "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you." The Lord told me to go slay my son. But he told the men, "We're going to go and we're going to worship and we're going to come back. We're coming back here." You know what Abraham believed? Abraham believed that God was going to raise his son back up. Yeah. Because he had given him a promise that all the nations of the world would be blessed through this son. Abraham believed God. No wonder it's written in Scripture all the way through. No wonder, because here was a man that really believed God. He really believed that what God said he would do. Do you know this morning, maybe we're weak sometimes. And this is the greatest blessing we could have, is to believe God. Because don't you know God had Abraham's good in his mind? Don't you know that that God had Abraham's posterity's good in his mind? And yet he sent him out there to live in a tent all his life. May not always be the cushiest life, but I want to tell you, it'd be the most blessed life. The Lord came passing by, and you know what he said? "Shall I go down here and do this thing and not tell my friend Abraham? No, I'm going to stop by and talk with him." Folks, I want to tell you, a visitor too from the Spirit of God will change your life forever. It's hard to ever, it kind of totally ruins you for everything of this world. I want to tell you, when we walk in the places God wants us to walk, we'll find God there. And He'll help us there. And He'll strengthen us there. And He'll bless our posterity from that. God wants to do that for you and for me. Is this true this morning? I don't need you to say it's true. I know it's true, and we all know it's true, don't we? All right. And Abraham, verse 6 of 22, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. Where's the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Wow. No wonder Abraham's faith is wrote about. it's exemplary, isn't it? Something for us to all follow. Can we just say, I know God is in this, and I'm willing to follow it through. Yes. I know God has called me. I know God has called me from the place that I'm in. So they went both of them together, in verse 9, and they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, him behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. You know, Jehovah Jireh means the Lord. The Lord will see. The Lord will provide. Do you know that because he obeyed God, he found out that God would provide. He found that out. I wonder if you could count the times, how many times Abraham and his son Isaac told this story and inspired the faith of his grandchildren. Do you think that's possible? Oh, don't you know, folks, if we will follow the Lord, he will set us up for success spiritually. He'll set us up for success in the things of God. He'll work with our children because we obeyed him. Folks, I have to believe that this was told over and over and over again. And are we going to withhold the little things? He didn't withhold his son. His only son. Anyway, we know the story of Abraham. But he didn't withhold that from God. And are we going to withhold because whatever flimsy reason we've got? Pretty flimsy, I think. We're following folks like this. If we want to go to heaven, we're going to have to take up our cross and follow him. But what we don't see many times is, if Abraham would have seen, if he would have looked at the cost when he first started, he might have never started. But if he would have seen what God was going to do from the start, of course he would have went. You know what? That's the way it'll be with us too. If we look at the cost only, folks, we won't believe. We won't have any confidence in God. But I want to tell you, God wants us to get on a journey with him this morning. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Do you know what Clark quotes? He says, on this mount the Lord shall be seen. That's what those words mean. From this it appears that the sacrifice offered by Abraham was understood to be a representative one, and a tradition was kept up that Jehovah should be seen in a sacrificial way on the mount. Wow. They thought and they knew that there was going to be, Jehovah was going to be seen here in a sacrificial way. And all these years later, we find Jesus was very likely offered on this mount. Isn't that something? And God was setting all that up ahead of time. And we think that God would call our life and won't set things up ahead of time. And we think that he won't take our life and make something good out of it. And we think he won't give us the best that the land has to offer. Oh, I'm telling you, let's believe God. Let's believe God and let every man be a liar, including ourselves. Folks, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. You know, the Lord tells us to not be slothful. This is in Hebrews 6. But it says, we desire, Paul said, or the writer of Hebrews said, and we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You know, we're exhorted to follow these kind of people this morning. And the Lord wants us to do that. I want to tell you, Paul wrote to the Galatians. And he said, who hath bewitched you? Who hath bewitched you? You know what they were ready to settle for? Their own ideas instead of God's way. And they were ready to go back to rites and ceremonies and all of these things where the law could tell them. You know, the children of Israel wanted a king. We many times, we want to see everything, don't we? We want everything just like... That's why they went back to that. They were familiar with that. I don't know how many of them were Jews there. But, you know, he goes on to say, where he's talking about that passage, he says that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. These misguided Galatians, folks, they had thought to change the worship of God. And we'll do that too if we're not careful. And we might give more than we ever gave before. And we might work harder than we've worked before. But I want to tell you what God really wants. He wants our obedience. He wants us to believe in Him. He wants us to take up our cross and follow Him. Don't you know that this morning? Can we not take up our cross? Can we not follow those like Abraham? Has the Lord spoken to you in this meeting? I hope He has. I want to tell you, I don't have anything. And I'm not boasting in this, but I don't know what else to say. I don't have anything but yes. That's the only thing I know to say. Folks, we cannot wrangle with whether we're going to do the will of God if we know for sure. And that's what I say. But we're not talking about getting in trouble and in a bind and oppressed. And we're talking about God dealing with our hearts, and we know it. Folks, let's don't do anything but say yes to the Lord. Paul, you remember Paul over there in Philippians 3, where he told the people there, he said, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, he was blameless. But he said, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And in fact, he went on to say, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. I just count them as manure. That's all. That's all everything else is, except the will of God. If it gets in the way of the will of God or takes the place of the will of God. And that's what those rites and those ceremonial commandments were in the Old Testament. They took the place of that place that we can enjoy so much. And that is hearing from God Himself. That is knowing the Lord. That's walking with God in a way that even Abraham really couldn't. Because he didn't have the Spirit of God living in his soul. We've got an advantage, folks. But he went on to say, he said, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. And so he went on to say, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, listen, I want to encourage us this morning to not slack back at any time in our life. Clark quotes this. He says, when it was said to Diogenes the Cynic, thou art now an old man, rest from thy labors. To this he answered, If I have run long in the race, will it become me to slacken my pace when to come near the end? Should I not rather stretch forward? Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize. I just would love for the Lord to burn in our hearts today to press, to reach, to stretch out there for the mark, the prize, eternal life with the Lord. You remember Zacharias, the father of John? And the angel came to him. I've never had an angel come and visit me like that I know of. The angel come and he told him, he said, you're going to have a son. And he's going to be great in the sight of the Lord. And he told him all of these things. And when the angel got all done, Zacharias wanted to know, now, how am I going to know this is going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what, the angel answered his prayer. He said, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed. Because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. I have to believe that Zacharias was a righteous man. But when it came to this, stretched him, didn't it? How am I going to know? Well, I'll tell you how you'll know. You're not going to be able to say anything for another 9 months. Well, I believe that convinced him. You know, we look over in Acts at King Agrippa. You know what Paul said to him? He said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, this is 26 and 27 of Acts, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Almost. But we don't have any record of Agrippa ever doing that. Wouldn't it have been nice if this king would have done what Abraham did and say, yeah, I'm on my way. I can see. I do believe. Yeah, Paul, you're right. I do believe. I know this is true. I know. And I fear and I tremble. And I'm going to get up and go on my way. And I'm going to follow God. Wouldn't that have been a nice thing? You remember the Philip traveling along and he met the eunuch from Ethiopia. And he began, this eunuch was hungry for God and he was reading in Isaiah. And he read the place, it says, I didn't write that part down and I've kind of forgotten. He read a part in Isaiah that he wasn't sure what it meant. It says, then Philip, this is 8 and 35 of Acts, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's just something burned in his heart. Something told him, this is true, this is right. And you know what he did? He got baptized and went on his way rejoicing. That's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Don't we love those kind of stories? Folks, won't your children love that story for you? I want to encourage us today to let nothing stop us from our journey this morning. Oh, there's so many of those kind of stories. A woman came to Jesus. She had an issue of blood 12 years. And you know, she came in the press. And she wanted something from the Lord. And you know what she did? She worked her way through. She did not say, I can't. She did not hold. She made it to Jesus. And Jesus healed her. And she didn't have that issue of blood anymore. I'm quite sure of that. Isn't that an amazing thing this morning? That's what God does. But you know, Jesus went back in his home country. And you know what they said about him? Is not this the son of Joseph? Don't we know his brethren? Don't we know his family? This is Jesus. He was raised right here. And he could not do many mighty works there. Folks, what's your excuse? We got excuses today? Jesus won't be able to do what he wants to. But if you'll take the faith of Abraham, I want to tell you something. I plan to go to heaven. I don't care what it costs me or how low I have to get or what I have to do or who I have to apologize to or what I have to grovel. I'm going to live for God by the grace of God. Folks, can we not all jump in there and say that? Can we not all say, Lord, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Oh, I think Jesus wants to do that for all of us today. You know, Thomas, he came and he had a hard time believing the story that the others told him. But I'll tell you what, he had a hard time believing it. But you know what Jesus did? He just showed him himself. You see, Thomas? It's me. The Lord will do that for us today. Oh, he wants us to take our journey with him, folks. Let's take up our cross and let's follow the Lord without ever looking back. Yes. Never in our life to look back. Only to say, if I can't seem to do it, I'm going to get low enough until God gives me grace to do it.
Yes, amen.
Folks, we can do it. He said many other signs. Jesus saith unto him, this is John 20, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the one that can do anything, the one that spoke the world into existence, the one that made all things, the one that has us in his control when we're his. And the devil has to go ask him if he can come into our territory. That believing he might have life through his name. Oh, listen, folks. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed. I'm persuaded. He's able to keep that that's committed unto him against that day. Oh, let's don't hold back. Folks, let's stretch forward. Let's press for the mark. Let's reach. We get older, let's reach more. We're getting close to the end. Oh, the Lord help us today. Won't you take up your cross and follow the Lord? Pray for me. I want to make it in.